is RSVB Update, episode 443, recorded Friday, December 13th, 2013. Man down. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this episode of RSVB Update. Joining us this week is Earth from Earth and the Informers.
Greatest band to ever grace this earth.
Yes, that ever graced you in that case. Anyways.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Fine. So anyways, thank you, Earth, for joining us. But aside from that, just us two normal people here, as always.
You're calling me abnormal?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Shane.
Alrighty.
You're decent to yourself.
Alrighty. So, thank you for joining us, everyone, for listening. And this week marks the beginning of World Event 2. So, this week I'd say that Earth and myself are the more experienced ones in this World Event. Given that we both spent time investigating various aspects of it, and he has some interesting ideas as to how clans can play a role in it, but we'll let him tell that story in a bit. So let's begin. Quiz us on World Event 2.
Okay. So, Reed, tell us your little funny story that happened to start us off.
Okay, well, as we will hear in one of our audio questions later, well, right now, Armadale is kicking Bandos' what?
1.3 million ahead.
Okay. Armadale is kicking Bandos' ass. And day one, Armadale had already taken a substantial lead, so someone made a specific world, World 66, a Bandos world, because Bandos needed all the help he could get, because, you know, they're getting their asses kicked. And my clan single-handedly kicked their asses, and it was really funny.
So
I assume that at this point, they've taken over, but we held them off for like 3 hours.
And just to be clear, you guys cleared out completely the Bandos' influence on 66.
Everything but the one by the Goblin Village, but given that that's right next to where... well, they had everything before, too. So... yeah, everything but one, the one right next to their respawn...
oh.
So that was pretty good. And then when I learned that just a few minutes ago when we were listening to the questions that that is the world for them, that brought me even more amusement.
So basically what you're saying is that the Bandos world, even though it's a dedicated Bandos world, was still able to be overrun by a clan.
This was day one, though.
Yeah. You guys tried it again?
So, no.
Oh, too bad.
Members of my clan have had to go to a different world at this point. But the fact still remains that we did overrun them. But I doubt we could do it today.
Oh, that's too bad. Alrighty. So what else have we got with World Event 2?
Well, okay, so basically right now we had, if you manage to log into the game, you will get into a little cutscene where Bandos and Armadale are sitting in a giant throne above us, looking at each other going, ha 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 ha, or actually,
the cutscene seemed kind of weird to me. I didn't really understand what was going on. Yeah, I didn't either.
You had to turn it on. I had to exit out, go into my settings, turn on the music and voice and everything else, and then
rewatch the cutscene. Yeah.
And they're all just...
That sounds exciting.
Is that what it really sounded like?
That and the whole... And then Bandos threw the goblins to Armadale to scout. There, you three scout. What?
Oh. That was the noise they made them make.
Oh, it's more of the whole...
That is so sad.
So at the end of the day, one of them is going to die at the end. I haven't gone to the Bandos camp, but the Armadale camp is south of Falador. Anyone here on Bandos side?
It's Goblin Village. It's at the Goblin Village, just north of that.
For me, no, I didn't. I joined Armadale primarily because I kind of spawned in south of Falador, and so I didn't feel like walking out to Bandos because my internet was lagging up on me. But I said, screw it, I just side with you. Then I'll backstab.
Oh, so it spawned you closer to Armadale than Bandos? That's not fair.
I got spawned at the Falador Lodestone. Where did you get spawned?
I don't remember where I got spawned.
Oh, okay.
I didn't pay attention to it.
You know one thing that's really annoying when these cutscenes start and they put you there? What if you're in some far-flung reach and you don't want to go there? I think you should be given an option at the very least if you want to go there.
Nope. No option for you, sir.
Nee, that's stupid.
I guess they're taking a page from Apple's book then.
What? Do what we say or do what we say?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So, how about that 1984 commercial, Shane?
I don't remember that one. Anyways, let's continue on.
Hello.
I said let's continue on. You were going to take us through this.
Okay, well, basically, a couple of things you can do. You can either fight each other in caravans, fight other players, do constructions, and you can use what the things you've gathered to create monsters to help one side or the other. So, just going down the list, have you guys tried the caravan? Defending the caravan, gathering...
It seemed glitchy to me, because I got, like, two hits off on it, and then it ran away.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
So... Yeah, I don't know. That was a couple days ago, though, so they might have fixed it, but it just seemed like I didn't have enough time to do anything. Couldn't kill anyone or anything. Yeah, right.
I have not seen any of the caravans in the areas that I've been hanging around, so I've been mainly focused on the next one.
They're everywhere, which I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's never come by, so I don't know why.
Which one have you been at?
The one north of the farming patch by the ivy and the elder tree.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's the one I've been
at. Right. One hasn't come by.
But I will say that I also tried the PvP element with this. And I'm just going to say right now that even if you're not a PvPer and you're not interested in it, turn PvP on. Because if you turn PvP on... you get your resources and experience much faster than if you don't. And if you're a follower...
Really?
Yeah. If you're a follower of Armadale, you're...
Pretty much every world, you're fine.
Yeah, you're not going to have much issue. So you can just turn PvP on. I think you get resources at like 3 times the rate and XP.
It's 1.5.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's much faster and also gives you more XP. So I say turn PvP on.
XP.
But in regards to PvP in general, I'm going to have to say that it is a tad too disorganized in order to be effective, in order to get people to learn how to PvP, if that's what they're trying to do with this. Because
I hadn't even thought of that as a motive.
Because if you're just getting out there and you're wanting to figure out how to exactly PvP, you're just going to go up to basically smack someone with a stick and hope you're going to be able to kill them. So you got to keep that in mind. And since it's not tiered in any way, in terms of combat levels, for example, it's entirely possible that you're going to run up to somebody who is combat level 200. It's not like the old wilderness used to be with the levels and whatnot to gate the PvP. So there's that issue. But there's also the issue that gear plays a huge role in whether or not you're successful. I went in there with my level 75 hybrid armor, and I was basically no match for somebody who was kitted out with level 90 armor, which I guess makes sense. So, looking at it from the top down, PvP, it's interesting to have it open world like that. When you die, you don't lose anything. But unless you're geared to the max with level 90 weapons and gear, you're not really going to make a dent in anyone. Exactly. So, I mean, it's nice to play around with, but at this time, it just doesn't really make sense to actually use it as a form of PvP unless you're out there and ready to take on the world with the best gear out there. And let's face it, that's hard to do because so much of these gears are worth many millions, like 50 million plus. And it's not that easy for anybody to be able to pull anything like that together. Yeah.
I just kept dying. Not much I could do.
I never bothered turning on PvP because I lag too much. So how do you guys turn it on in the first place?
You press like F3 and then that'll bring up the options for it.
Beast of Burden, Birds and the Beast thing.
Yeah, and then there's section PvP options.
Okay, yep. Let's see. Vote pass. Votes pass. Okay. Fascinating.
I'm gonna come find you after the show and kill you.
Wow, Shane, you are just the kindest person ever. So benevolent.
Oh wait, we're on the same side. That everyone wishes they could be.
Wow, Shane.
Also, anybody use the disruptor rods?
I haven't. I've just been building a little things because that's basically the only thing I can do so far.
I don't know what those are, actually.
Okay. Basically, the disruptor rod is something you use to, what I guess it would be, shock or stun another player who is attacking or gathering divination memories at a caravan. So basically, think of it as a way... It's like a taser, except you have to touch the person with the rod.
I see.
Yeah. And you can get them at your caravan spawn point or your quartermaster. And each one of them has 10 charges on it. So they're relatively easy to come by. So if you're going out in the wild and going for the caravan, you probably should pick up a disruptor rod. Alrighty, I think you wanted to ask about construction next.
Well, so far it's pretty straightforward. There are a couple plots around Glen and Falador, and I guess a little bit of rock that you can just build things to help your side. So what are they?
Well, basically what you do is you go there, and you just click on the thing, and your player bangs a hammer at the building that is currently there. And, I mean... And this is the best construction XP there is in the game because it is so cheap. You don't pay anything.
It's so cheap
for it.
That it's free, right?
Exactly. I'm sorry. In regards to buildings, you can build the spider hole, which is basically ambushers appear from the spider hole and attack bodyguards of the convoy and then the caravan units themselves. Then there's the Divining Siphon, which increases the gather rate by 10% for friendly convoys or 25% if the node benefit microchange is active. If an enemy convoy is present, 10% of the divine energy is siphoned into the building faction score. There's also the faction banner, which, I mean, is just a banner. Basically, you want to show off who controls the area. And the combat monolith, which basically gives players a buff, whoever, who are on the same side at this point.
It doesn't really specify what the buff is, though, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Because I couldn't figure out what it was.
Basically, all it says on the documentation is that the buff allows players to heal while in PvP combat. The healing rate is half the damage dealt to their opponent, capped at 200. So that's really the only buff
there is.
Oh,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's free construction XP, so you really can't turn that down when you think about it, right?
I could.
Why?
Because this is America. I can do whatever I want.
Oh, right. Okay.
Press me, you communist filth.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, you asked?
Yeah.
You only give max.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? I think we lost him because of his internet.
Hand down. Everybody's dying.
Yeah, except you.
Oh, you sound so disappointed.
No.
Nope.
Alrighty, so construction. Okay. Other things you can do there past construction is building the golems. If you go to the second level, or first floor as they call it in the UK, of your... of your encampment, you can actually fill out the strategy board for the golem, and then that'll determine, based on what players want, what kind of golem will be built, and will go onto the battlefield. So you can choose the head, the torso, the legs, and the arms, and then you contribute your points to it, and whichever one wins is the mix that you get, and this goes out onto the battlefield and fights for you.
Woo.
So that's one of the things you can spend your points on. If you don't want to vote in the same kind of voting thing that was in the first world event. So you can also do that. Choose a golem. All right. Okay. What's next? Do we lose him again?
All right, let's talk about the rewards.
Okay.
To be pretty much the same thing as last time, except there are new abilities.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's what really stands out for me this time around. I'm not going to bother with any of the armor, because just like last time, you're going to be able to get this armor as a drop in the God Wars dungeon.
Okay, where did they say it? Where did they say
it? I like the new abilities.
It was posted on Twitter.
Was it posted there for the last one, too?
No, it wasn't. It was informed in a news post after the event ended.
Okay, so they did not say beforehand.
They did not say beforehand last time, but they did say beforehand this time that you will be able to get the armor in other places.
Because I was really annoyed last time.
Yeah, me too, because that's what I spent everything on, and that was just so annoying to do all this gathering. And then, you're going to be able to get these as a drop in the God Wars dungeon. Thank you. Nope. I could have just done that from the very beginning.
Okay, cool.
So I'm happy about that.
So I'm happy with the new skills that are coming out, which is good.
There's three of them.
Say
right?
What?
Yeah, Sacrifice, Devotion, and Transfigure.
All right.
Hooray.
So Sacrifice... basic ability, deals regular damage, so 100% damage, ignores the protection prayers, and heals 25% of the damage you deal, or 100% if your target dies. This is going to cost you 21,000 points.
Which you can get in less than a day. Oh yeah, the cap is 30,000 per day.
Yep. I got mine in about less than a half hour, I think 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yep. And that's with PvP.
It's not as bad as the last one.
And the second ability is Devotion. Threshold makes your protection prayers 100% effective for 20 seconds, and killing an opponent refreshes the duration of the effect. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, I think this is in some ways a response to the people who didn't like the change to the protection prayers in the reworked combat system.
I think it's also for rangers who wants to train range in the little dungeon thing.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
What dungeon?
So where you fight all the mummies?
Oh,
that one.
Oh,
I think in the Fist of Gothics.
The mummies in the Chinchampa thing.
Fist of Gothics,
right? Chaos tunnels.
Yes, there. Yeah, that's right. Because you activate this,
I can't
threshold,
be the only one that thought of this.
Well, you're the only one that thought of it of the three of us.
I read that, and that was for training. I didn't think of that specifically.
That's the first thing I thought of when I read that. I was like, oh, Ranger's going to be happy. They can train that thing again. 100 protection prayers are 100% effective for 20 seconds. Killing an opponent extends the effect by 5 seconds. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be down there for a while again.
Just wait. It says it refreshes the duration.
So?
Duration. That means it resets it.
You're still protected
completely
by it.
I take that as it resets it completely for 20 seconds.
What does that mean? What are you saying, Shane?
So you kill someone, right? Or an NPC?
You're saying it stops.
No, I'm saying it starts over. I'm saying your 20-second counter starts over again. Yeah.
No, it says here you extend by 5 seconds.
What are you reading?
The official wiki.
Oh, really? I'm reading the official wiki, too.
Shane, why are you editing things?
Actually, click on Devonation. It'll take you to the official wiki.
Oh, okay. I see.
Their version of the thing. And in the description, it says protection prayers are 100% effective for 20 seconds. Killing an opponent extends the effect by 5 seconds.
All right.
Now, imagine the mummies with Chimchampas, you're pretty much guaranteed to kill something every couple of seconds, and if you're done, you pretty much get the adrenaline to start this again, unless the cooldown in my theory should be relatively long. It's a level one skill.
It requires level one.
I don't know. But it's threshold, so. Yeah. It's defense. Let me sit in here. No, now you need to buy it. Take a look. But I don't know if it has a cooldown or a stacking or max stack ability.
Yeah, no.
You know,
we need
to
test
this.
We'll
figure that out later.
Because the one on the Bird and the Beast page says it's refreshed.
Is that the first one where you get?
That's the second one.
Well, let's check the, let's see. Yeah, there's nothing to add to this one yet, so we gotta try it out later on.
Yeah.
Well, Shane, when this is released, I'm pretty sure it will fly.
Like a bird?
I don't
get a bird.
It.
Yeah.
A bird?
When this sun comes out, imagine.
To something,
no, it's later. Because the event is called The Bird and the Beast.
So it was a reference to something.
Yeah, but probably not what you were thinking of.
No, that's literally what I was thinking of.
All right. Well, the next ability, tell us about it.
Next ability, the last ability.
Shane.
Hmm?
Shane.
Hmm.
Shane.
Yes.
You said we could stop.
After the last
for
ability.
A minute. Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, the last one here, we have Transfigure. An ultimate ability from Constitution that stuns you for a short duration, then heals you twice of any damage you receive during that stun. And subsequently imparts a lengthy stun immunity. So, let's see. So let me read up from what it says here from the description. It's a level 10 skill. You are stunned for 6 seconds. When the stun ends, you heal 50% of any damage taken during the stun and become immune to stun for 15 seconds. I'm wondering if there may be a backdoor to this.
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
Well, we have abilities that can prevent you from getting stunned, like anticipation.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
So, you know,
I don't. That one seems kind of weird to me. I don't know if I'd use it.
yeah, because you don't want to, like,
well, you
6 seconds is an eternity.
In
well, think about
combat,
well,
yeah.
think about this though. Well, I don't know if it will. Well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I bet someone will find a way to make this work. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got three new abilities that have just been released. Happy hunting. What?
Happy hunting.
What? Something wrong?
Nothing. Something wrong.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
It's kind of weird,
All right, and I'd
man.
just like to note quickly that the War Priest armor that you can get from this time will also reduce cooldowns on abilities that have long cooldowns, so that's going to be interesting to play around with as well.
Define long cooldown.
Oh, 15%.
What?
15% reduction in cooldown.
No, how long is long in
I don't
that
know.
definition?
30 seconds or more.
Oh, the cooldown.
Yeah, so
Okay, gotcha,
if the cooldown is
gotcha.
more than 30 seconds, it
Right.
will reduce it by 15%. Alrighty, so one final thing before moving on to the tweaks and fixes for this week. Thoughts, is Bando's going to pull a miracle and come back, or can we call this like we
I doubt
call
it.
elections in the first hour?
I'm gonna call it, I think. I will reserve. I'll wait another week before I'm like really adamant, really you know what I'm trying to say.
All right, so you're pulling a mitt then.
What? No, I'm not changing my philosophies. My entire philosophy in a
All right.
second.
All righty.
Come on, Shane. You're the expert.
I'm gonna call it as well right now. I'm gonna say that Armadale's got this in the bag.
What bag?
Well, in the
I
bag,
don't
you know,
remember
like
seeing
the
that.
completionist bag. Like he's got the winning prize, and
He's got
Mandos
the
is gonna be dead at the end of
completionist
this.
cape?
So.
When did he get that cape? I don't remember that happening.
All right, how about you?
Well, last time I was very, very wrong on Zamorak.
Oh, did you say he's gonna
Very
win?
wrong. Yeah.
Oh man, you were
Because I kind of
wrong.
figured all the. I know, indeed.
Yeah, but was this what,
Indubitably.
week one?
Yeah.
Nah.
But we're still relatively pretty even at the time. Then it's like, nope. Shoot.
Yep.
Alrighty then. So you're going with Armadale on this one then?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, then let's move on to the tweaks and fixes. And as we do with the last world event, we'll bring you guys the battle updates every week if you're not logging into RS, and we'll keep you updated on just how this is going, even if it's just for fun.
Just how much Armadale is winning.
Yep. And how the Bandos people have to resort to World 66.
Oh, and don't
Alrighty.
worry, people. My clan stopped, so you're fine.
All right, so In the tweaks and fixes this week, summoning familiars and cosmetic pets cannot be active within the Bird and Beast designated areas. They'll disappear on entry, just like you do at the Grand Exchange. So that's basically, you can't use summoning familiars while participating with the Bird and the Beast.
Oh, really? Fascinating.
Yep. Also, Virago has deemed the defeater title a little too easy to attain, so pretty much everyone that grabbed the defeater title has to go back and get it again, and that there is a new form of attack on Virago. Yeah, so basically they made Virago harder, even though this was initially supposed to be the hardest boss fight in the game, and evidently people were able to defeat it, so they felt they needed to remove that title and start over. Which makes sense if it's supposed to be the hardest NPC in the game. You can now repeat the Ashdale tutorial by speaking to Gudrik in Taverly.
Oh man, that's just what I was
wanting to also do. More tweaks and fixes to the tutorial have been made, and they've actually added a storefront in game for Solomon's General Store. He's just south of the Grand Exchange now.
Time. Now we don't have to log out if we actually want to look at all that crap.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one thing people felt was a major issue, is that Solomon and Yelps had no physical presence in-game. So
if Yelps did, someone would kill him. They would find a way. There's a lot of hate.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of hate.
That's probably exactly why they're not in the game, so you're right on that front. Anything from the release notes this week jumping out at you two?
The release notes?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice that they've kind of...
Tweaks and Twixes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. What was jumping out at you?
Face their bank booths. Oh, yeah, the doors from the Armadillian Citadel after missing presumed death have been removed to allow access to the main chamber. Brassica Prime is in there and has the most obnoxious voice I have ever heard.
So you went back there to investigate this?
Mm-hmm.
And?
It's Brassica Prime, and it has the most obnoxious voice I've ever heard in my life.
All right, well, that's going to be World Event 3, you know?
Yep. If Brassica doesn't win, my clan is going to go apeshit.
You're going to commit seppuku?
No.
Oh, okay.
You should.
No.
You have dishonored family.
creating unfinished summoning pouches now works off the player's summoning level and not the active number of summoning points.
So what?
Basically, when you were creating a summoning pouch beforehand, it would work on how many points you had rather than your actual level. So it was looking at the top number rather than the bottom number.
Okay.
Also, going back to something that used to happen in the olden days, doing the giving thanks emote before attempting to do the rest emote no longer allows players to rest on a clan citadel dance floor.
Oh man, that sounds like a huge problem.
Yep. Very mission critical problem for those RP clans out there. Anyways, anything else from you two on here?
Well, nice little summoning stuff that they added, which I'm kind of happy about.
What summoning stuff is this?
Well, the tweaks and fixes, creating unfinished summoning pouches no longer work off the summoning points, but work off summoning level.
Yeah, just mentioned that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh, okay, I thought there was something else that I missed. Alright then. What's next?
Okay, what's next? We have Pokemon cards that are coming out. Oh, wait, no, wrong game. Sorry.
What?
Oh,
are these those stupid things?
They're the RuneScape cards.
Yes.
Okay, you could have just said yes.
They
are these a thing?
Because they want to try and take over the world by playing a children's COD game.
COD? Are you from Boston?
Draw your last pathetic card so I can end this duel.
But do they believe in the heart of the cards? I think that's the real question here.
I don't know.
What do you think, Shane? Do you think they believe in the heart of the cards?
I have no idea what that means.
Oh, we're not surprised.
No.
It's a very important question. Ages old.
I want to get a couple of these packs.
Why?
Well, collector's item, right?
Sure.
There's the Ceridomen Colossus. It's 6.8 meters tall, has a combat level of 180, and is 2,500 years old.
Wow, Shane.
The King Black Dragon, on the other hand, is 13,000 years old. It's been in RuneScape for 12 years.
Wait,
Commander Zilyana.
How old is it?
The KBD?
Yes.
13,000 years old.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they didn't just multiply it by 1,000. This is happening. Come on to you, Jagex.
Yeah, so basically,
your tricks.
You're going to be able to pick these cards up and then play them with your friends. I don't know how exactly you do this, but yeah, looks good. You know, I had the Pokemon cards and I never played them. Either of you guys ever play Pokemon cards?
I don't think.
No, never did that Pokemon thing.
I don't think anybody ever figured out how to play Pokemon cards. We just collected them because it was just cool and that was the thing to do at the time. I did play Yu-Gi-Oh because that was a lot more easier to figure out.
Yeah, that made more sense. Did enjoy me some Yu-Gi-Oh.
That one's even still popular today.
It is. How do you know that?
Because one of your friends was doing it, remember?
No.
Yeah. Funny enough, a couple years ago, the quote-unquote evolution of Yu-Gi-Oh was actually quite fascinating. You know how in the very beginning, everybody played Yu-Gi-Oh and the whole like fight, use monsters to fight each other, whittle down a life points thing?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, at the a couple of years ago, it evolved to, it is no longer about fighting, using monsters to fight each other. It's about having cards to get the cards, that will help you win. And you play some crazy combination thing that you just automatically win somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I went back and played with some friends with my really old deck. And I just got my ass kicked. It was not fair in the slightest.
So we went from talking RuneScape top trumps to Yu-Gi-Oh.
I think that's a fairly logical jump. Card games,
but
Mang.
I mean, really, how does it show what exactly we're doing, you know? I mean, it shows that we're not valuing the top trumps.
Well, Shane, remember, the COD game market is pretty saturated. You have Magic, Pokemon is still there, is still there. Warcraft card game, which is just like,
really?
No. Yeah, there's a Warcraft one. There's a World of Warcraft trading card game out there.
I'd like to know what
Idelf is the most popular.
Oh no.
Hey, when I tried WoW on my 14-day trial, I created a Night Elf.
And okay.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I was told that was the good one to do. And then I jumped off the boat.
A It's a female one, right?
I don't think so.
You made a male Night Elf in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You're probably the only person who has ever made a male Night Elf in World of Warcraft, Shane.
Well, that's Am I right, Trekkie?
I don't know. I never played World of Warcraft. I never got into it.
Yeah, although the game and breasts.
Me.
So.
I don't know. Okay. Well, back on track to RuneScapeian. Next up, we have the free festive headwear with prepaid cards. So, if you're using the prepaid card you get from a whole bunch of any retail store, you can have a Santa hat. You can have a snowman's hat. there's also one where you get a Christmas pudding head. It looks like someone just ate your head.
What?
And you got scared about the egg in your head.
Man down.
Sneeze.
You know.
Dude, what kind of sneeze is that?
I don't know.
Seriously.
Okay, back on track.
That's
so anyway,
even more of a...
Okay, back on track. Anyway, Christmas-themed headgear is available with prepaid cards, although you are able to get these if you are a Gold Premium Club member.
I want the snowman head.
Why?
Actually, no, never mind. It doesn't look too detailed.
Well, remember, you get it both for being gold, so...
Yeah, I'm not getting Premier Club this year.
Okay. Fine with me. And and that's about it.
Yeah, offer ends on the 31st. All right. Next up.
I
am so happy about this.
About what?
Postbag from the Hedge returns.
Oh, yes. I was excited. It's very exciting.
So for anyone...
Who was the last one?
It was many moons ago that they last did a postbag from the Hedge. And they cited the reason they stopped is because, you know, they were getting so many emails. And it's hard to go through them all and choose which one they want to do and which ones they want to answer. Because, you know, they need to put a sufficient amount of lore into it. They need to answer the questions with regards to lore. They need to decide what hints they're giving out, that sort of thing. But anyways, they are bringing it back. So as before, you can just email your messages to postbag@jagex.com. Various characters, monsters, and even inanimate objects you can send them to. Replies may be serious.
Mr. T-Wire. Do you remember that one, Shane?
No.
The Tripwire.
Oh.
The Elven.
I don't remember that one.
That was my favorite one.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, because that Tripwire always poisons you even with 99 agility.
Yeah, that was why. I think it was in regards to having a super anti-poison and still getting poisoned, though.
Yeah. So, I mean... All sorts of things happen with this, and one of the most common things to happen here is the Chaos Elemental speaking, and that is essentially one long anagram that sounds like gobbledygook, and then you have to decipher it and figure out what exactly the Chaos Elemental is talking to and what future updates it
And it's a hint.
To. Yeah.
Big hint.
Yeah, so I look forward to this, and let's make sure that everyone sends something in, because if you send something in, chances are they'll continue with this in the future, and, I mean, if this continues, this will be a regular occurrence again, and that's something I'd very much like to see.
How regular, though, is the question.
I don't know. It used to be once a month.
Yeah, once a month.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. It used to be. They could probably take it down to once every other month, though, if they wanted to.
I'd be cool with that.
Yep. All right. So that's coming back. That's always nice to see. And finally, as mentioned, you can now pay for your Premier Club membership with bonds. So, bronze, silver, and gold packages are 6, 12, and 24 bonds, respectively. So let's just do some math quickly, find out what the current price of a bond is. So let's see. So a bond is currently at 9 million CP, and wow, that went up. So 24 of those. So 9 times 24 is 216 million for a year of membership bonds.
Okay.
Alrighty. Let's move on to the questions, shall we?
Alrighty.
First one's an audio question from 101 Duck 1.
Hello, hosts of RSVNB. This is 101 Duck 1 here with a couple questions. First of all, have you guys been playing the world event with PvP on or off? Going along with that, I've run into a bit of a problem. I follow Bandos, and I really knew from the get-go that I'd be on the losing side, but, I mean, Jagex has said previously that fighting a losing battle will in no way penalize you, except for, you know, the fact that your guy's gonna die. And, you know, I really think that's a complete load of crap. How do you explain the fact that, as a follower of Bandos, I don't have the luxury of turning on PvP in really any world except for World 66 and getting faster XP rates and faster renown rates, so I have to settle for absolutely crappy rates or go to the special world for Bandos? I mean, how's that fair? I am completely hindered. Also, how do you guys feel about making combat, or PvP at least, completely multi instead of 1v1. Again, I just don't get it. It's extremely stupid, because, again, you're just making it a game of numbers instead of a game of skill. I just don't understand what the point is. Well, thanks for answering my questions. Have an awesome week, you guys.
All right, thanks for the question. And Earth, I think you owe this guy an apology.
For what?
For taking over World 66.
Shane, we did that for like 3 hours, and then they took it back.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what, Reed?
Yes.
We should just tell him to convert to the prideful path.
Yeah, follow us, brother.
Come, brother Duck. Quack, quack.
Oh, oh boy.
That's a little creepy.
You know, based on your question last
Shane,
week.
Why is there. Shane, someone vandalized the homepage.
What?
They vandalized the homepage.
I don't see what you
they
mean.
RSVNB.
Yeah?
They added a Santa.
That's fine.
Yeah, vandals. They had a DeSanta hat. Aren't you going to strike back?
No.
Later.
Hang on. All right. On to the actual question now, because I'm not sure where that came from, but...
Sorry.
Based on what you said last week regarding Armadale being the socialist choice, you know, I agree with you. But the reason I chose Armadale to go on with this is primarily for the feeling of justice and individual choice, because that's what Armadale stands for, is that. But, you know, you're right that Jagex said you wouldn't be penalized, and I mean, maybe it just has something to do with the overemphasis that, like the last world event, they didn't think it would be so one-sided, so much so that pretty much all the worlds except for one are Armadale in nature. So this could just be an oversight on their part. And, you know, I completely understand how you feel about this. And you're right, it's not right that you should have to change your world in order to go on, in order to, you know, use PvP in order to get the, get the XP rates. So.
Yeah, just go to that world and you'll be fine. My clan has... They don't keep it up 24/7. You'll be fine. And yeah, I always keep PvP on because, I mean, you get faster stoofs, so why not, right?
Yeah. By the way, if anyone wants to buy me a set of full Drygors so I can try PvP and become a PvPer in RS, contact me, Shane12088.
Why don't you just ask for a white party hat?
That too.
Where do we send the stripper, Shane?
Dude!
You don't. All right. So the second part
wow,
of the question...
Wow, Trekkie, that was...
The second part of the question pertains to PvP and whether it should be 1v1 or multi-combat. Because in this world event, it's entirely multi-combat. How do you guys feel about that?
Listen, everything multi now.
Yeah.
PvP combat in this really does not work. It's all about having a bunch of people and ganking someone.
It's just a person getting raped. That's it.
Yeah, it's
don't
just
go
like,
that far. We're on a...
It's just like going
you know, here's the thing.
It has multiple meanings.
I know. But, you know, here's the thing is that, like, if you go onto Soul Wars, which is a perfect example of, you know, multi PvP combat thing. You know, it's still click on you, hope for the best, but other people start coming, hitting on you. You can't really defend. You're just spam clicking your bandages to heal yourself. Well,
wait, to kill yourself?
To heal yourself.
Oh, okay.
Reed, get some rubbing alcohol poured into your ears and clear out the earwax. And well, the thing is that
I don't think that's a good idea.
The problem with you know RS is that the lack of skills really doesn't support multiplayer fighting. Think of this, like look at other games, look at other MMOs. They always have abilities that kind of benefit the group. There's really nothing here to benefit the group in this, except for a group vengeance, which only works for so far.
Yeah,
this is true.
And you know, like there are like about, you know, let's see, range has about 3 or 4 abilities that can do AoE damage. Melee basically has about 2. Well,
oh yeah, range OP.
There's 3 melee ones, but cleave is obviously useless. magic, there's about maybe 3, but tsunami really isn't very AoE friendly, but because by the time you get it up there, you're pretty much dead anyway. So you know, there's you know protection way to protect yourself. Everything is very corny to you. There's no way to protect other people. There's no way to remove stuns from other people. Not yet. And you know that's kind of like the whole problem with PvP and RS. It's like it's really not group oriented. So if they want to PvP more work, they need to introduce some skills and abilities. And one way much easier to click on enemies to attack them with. And make it more group friendly, release some skills to protect each other, help each other, empower each other, make them stronger as they're fighting. You know, that's basically it.
I agree with everything you said, and I'm just going to add one thing to it. Make the tick rate higher, please. In order to have a smooth PvP experience that's actually fun and not a chore to do, the tick rate needs to be higher.
Yeah. But then, I don't think they thought it through very well.
Well, remember, like most of the people here are for PVM, player versus monsters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. But PvP is
PvP really needs a whole like many other games to kind of do this, where they're like they introduce the same skill set for both. But they'll modify it for PvP because they know that if they don't do it, it will actually hurt a lot of groups because the mechanics way overpowered. If you look at many other PvP, there's always a reason why you know, if you're stacking or buffing, only goes to a certain level. Because they know if they don't make a cap, people will farm that, get that buff to a certain point where, like, oh, I can one-hit you with this, with the weakest arrow.
Is there something to do with, like, knives?
Hey, I've done that on stone.
Oh, I'm sure you have, Shane. There was something with knives where you did a shit ton of damage.
Back in RuneScape Classic, when they first started out, the thing was that you input a ton of knives into your inventory, you actually hit at someone very high level. For some reason, the knives acted as a weapon bonus to your main weapon that you were holding. So for whatever reason, it acted like an increased damage and increased accurate weapon. So a lot of people got killed in the wild during that time period. And lesser demons, as I recalled.
And didn't they make it so if you hit above something, you just died? Mm. Seem to remember hearing about that. That would be funny.
And
they
and
do
the
more
thing.
Things like that.
All of these things that we've said in the past 5 minutes regarding PvP are valid. And the problem is there's no controlled testing ground to know what PvP is. The wilderness is just as uncontrolled as what we got now here. So there's no real way to know, as we said, about what's being used and what's not being used in PvP in the way that people actually want a PvP.
Well, if you really want to try to make a decent build or whatnot, you really got to go into dueling, because that's when you're fighting one-on-one, what do you use against what other people's ability. But the problem is I have that's something there. But I think my little pet peeve with the dueling arena is there's not a lot of obstacles in the way to really help you out to one way or another, except for one, which isn't really that great. Think of it like this. If I'm a ranger fighting a melee person, I want to stay keep away from the guy. It's kind of hard when that guy is always on top of you, and no matter how far you cannot run faster than him because of the tick rate, and you'll never really get a chance to shoot very well unless you have some crazy magical fingers.
Can't kite them like Kiko in StarCraft. Can't kite the zealots.
Because everyone runs at the same speed and everything. There's no way to I think all those charge abilities shouldn't even be a charge. I honestly believe they should just be a quick little buff where you for a split second, you attack faster or you move slightly faster for however long and you deal a little bit more damage.
But I feel like they'd have to get rid of the whole squares thing too.
And that's the thing. There's so many things in this game that are defined around those squares, defined around tick rate, that changing these things, yes, it's possible to change them now in the current version of the game that exists, but so many things would be broken from it that would need to be tweaked, and, I mean, it would be basically like reinventing the way RS works, and that's why they haven't done that. And I know I always keep saying, improve the tick rate, and I'll PVM, I'll PVP, I'll do whatever. But the thing is that they've said that they won't improve the tick rate because of so many things depend on the tick rate being just that. So, I mean, it's really a legacy problem, and it's where the game is right now that's causing it. So.
Okay.
All right, I think that's a good primer on PvP there, and we'll have to see what happens over the next 6 weeks. But shall we move on to the next one?
Well, one little 101 Duck One just switched to Armadil. Kill your god, backstab him, become a spy, and we shall honor thee. Come, Brother Duck.
Brother Duck.
Yes,
or you could just stick with your god and, you know, believe in what you want to believe.
And lose.
Nah.
Just remember that if something appears to be a victory in your eyes, it's a victory.
Right. Okay.
Take whatever victories you can get.
Yeah. That's like, oh, well,
that's why you just say I won if you switch the order around, right, Shane?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Moving whatever. On. Next one from Maramska.
Hello, Shane and Treki. How you doing? Maramska here. With the world event going on again, there seem to be great discussion. The Zorosian community. Most of them believe that he would side with Armadale, and a minority like me think he would side with Bandos. If you're put in his shoes, who would you align yourself with? Also, the second question I would like to ask is more geared towards Treki. What are your opinions on clan resources? Mainly the smithing plot. When you pop in the Citadel, when you see where there are resources to smith bars, do you use it and just leave, or do you re-top it up before you leave? I know, what is your clan's etiquette towards it? Okay, that's all for this week. I got a breaking news message from my clan. Let me just click here.
Huh, that's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
A headline news regarding okay. mass awareness of a certain avian variety. Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Talk to you next time. I'm scared.
First things first. What was that?
The bird is the word.
From where?
Whoops. Is it Faye?
Yeah.
TV.
DS.
TV.
All right. So, what was that noise?
TV. That's my TV show. And actually, Reed. Hey, Reed.
Yeah.
For a second here, let us take a 5 seconds of silence to bow at our fallen the fallen comrade, Brian the dog.
What?
Okay, we're done. Okay, so first things first. Which side would you guys choose?
Well,
If I were Ben or Zaros, I think I'd choose Bandos because he's clearly weaker. and even if he's the same strength, he is quite obviously less intelligent. And thus easier to manipulate and then get rid of later. So, okay. That's what I'd do.
Yeah. Shane?
Yeah.
Really? You too?
Well, I mean,
join inside.
I don't know. I'm trying to see. Okay, they're both the same tier. So,
yeah, but
I'm going to have to go with I'm going to go with Earth, and I'm going to say yes. base that aren't that Zaros yes. would want to weaken the opposition, so he would go with Bandos.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing too, cuz I would join Bandos, slaughter Armadale, and then either make Bandos my, you know, my servant, my slave, because if he doesn't, I shall kill him, and he shall do my bidding. And if he doesn't, I shall kill him immediately and point my own, or just keep him on a nice long leash. But the idea is, I shall then become the god, and all shall fear me. But before I do that, I'll have Bandos fight Sarah Doman and Zamorak, and once they're all kind of all tired out, then I'll swoop in and kill everybody and become Supreme Overlord. Then I have to fight my little player character because he's supposed to be a little deity who's decides to help Guthan and try and destroy me or keep me away or whatever, protect his people. And so therefore we shall have an epic battle on the mountains of Mount Doom.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, that was simple. I'm
yes,
not in a clan.
We would all gang up.
So what do you guys think of the clan question?
Well, if I understood his question correctly, every member of our clan is supposed to cap, which is get as many resources as they can.
Cut off.
Like until they cap.
It's about 2,700. 1,500, 2,700, depending on how high your tier is.
Yeah. I don't remember what ours is.
And how long does that normally take?
A couple hours.
About two and a half. Usually I pop on a decent movie and just watch and just let it go.
Yeah. It really depends on who's doing it. Or what you're doing, I mean.
All right. And you guys, so you guys some of them, like the
crafting one, takes a really long time. But
you guys top up stuff when you're done?
Yeah, I cap. Oh, actually, by the time I get there, it's already been all done, ready to go, and everything else we just do is just extra experience. So my little pet peeve is that I always do it around the weekend because that's the only time I have. And so by the time I get there, only thing that's really left is just nothing except just wood. So usually what ends up happening is I want to get some smithing experience, but I can't get any because all the charcoal is gone. And by the time I'm smithing right in half. So that kind of sucks, but you should dump it back into my clan ring. They made the update to clan ring, which is really good, is that they just with the whole bonus thing a while back. So all the bonus XP that you get from the clan ring goes straight into that skill as you're leveling it up instead of having a ring with you all the time.
Oh,
very,
that's excellent.
Very nice. I dump it in the smith. Yeah, so it's a good way to get some extra experience in. But honestly, most people, I think the XP rate is more or less the same for whatever level, no matter what level you are. It's fairly consistent.
Savvy. Okay. So the answer is yes, then.
Yes.
Alrighty then, moving on to the next question. I'll read this. It's from Pater100. Hello, host. Pater100 here from the Netherlands. I have a couple of questions. I want to know how old my count is. Is there any place where I can check this? I think I'm really close to the 10-year cape. I didn't participate much in the first world event, but I want to have all the items from this one. My question is, as we go further in tiers, are we able to access the previous tier? Thanks for the show. Have a good week. All right. The simple question to the second, or the simple answer to the second question is yes. Once we get to tier 3 in World Event 2, you will still be able to access the tier 1 rewards, so there's no rush in getting them. And normally after everything's unlocked, there's a good time period after the fact where you're able to access them. So there is no reason why you need to rush. You can access all the tiers once you're unlocked, so you don't need to worry about that.
How long is this one going to be out?
6 weeks.
10 weeks again? 6, really?
Yeah, ooh. So they shortened it up. Because, they felt it was too long last time, and I think by the end of it, people were really...
feeding a dead horse.
Yeah, pretty much. People were growing tired of it.
But then it was also the fact that it lagged so badly around launch. Couldn't really do much of anything.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right. Now, 10-year cape. There's actually a little nifty thing you can do about this. What you can do, hang on,
is
you can go to Lumbridge and talk to Hans.
Talk to Hans.
Yeah, talk to him. It's Hans.
Hans.
Why is it Hans?
Because Hans, that's how it's Solo. Pronounced.
You must not anger Han Solo. Come on, Shane. Be happy.
Yeah, smile. But if you talk to Hans, he will tell you how close you are to the 10-year cape because he's been the longest NPC around on RuneScape. So you just talk to him and he'll tell you when it's coming up. And if you're able to get the 10-year cape, you can get it from him. But if not, he'll tell you when you'll be able to get it. And you can just do some reverse subtraction from that if you don't have it yet to find out when you created your account. But the unfortunate thing is that if you're past the 10-year mark, you cannot ask him when you created your account. And the reason for this is that sometimes they'll use a ballpark estimate so that you can recover your account with this piece of data if you ever need to go to that length. So it's kind of unfortunate that you won't get to know when your account was created aside from this, but this is the best way to find out. Alrighty. Well, that's it for questions. So a reminder, you can send in questions like these two, or rather three did. Just email the audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. Text questions can also go there. But the far simpler way is to just post the questions on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. And topics usually go up on Monday, and we will collate the questions and insert them into the show at the end of the week. But before we move on to tech news, we have something we want to tell you about, something we're going to be doing this week and next week to round up the year. So what is that?
We're going to have a party, and everyone's invited.
No, what are we really going to do?
Have a party, everyone's invited. It's at Shane's house. If you PM me, I can give you his address. Yeah. Party at Shane's.
Don't do that.
We are going to be giving free bonds away.
Oh, I actually could give them your address. I forgot.
Yeah, so this is true. We are giving two bonds away. One this week and one next week. This week, what we want you to do is we want you to send a private message to one of us. So that's us two main hosts. You can just go to the forums and look there for us, and you can see our names down there, and you can send us a private message. And, of course, links will be in the show notes in order to do this at update.rsbnb.com. And what we want you to include in your PM is your favorite RSBNB update moment of the year. It doesn't have to be precise or anything like that. We're not asking for something that we can take a clip from, but if you do know exactly what episode it was from and the time, please do include that. But aside from that, just include your favorite RSBNB update moment of the year. And what we'll do is we'll take all the private messages that we get, and next week we will determine a random winner and give one of these away. And then you'll be contacted by one of us in-game to receive your bond.
Huzzah!
If it involves me, then you get bonus points from me, but that has no bearing on whether or not you will get the bond.
This is true.
And you should PM Shane or Trekkie, but if you want to PM me, that's fine too, and I will pass it along to them. I promise.
Well, yeah, because if they PM'd you and you didn't pass it along, they wouldn't be included in the voting. Or not in the voting, the random
drawing. Yeah, that's how that works. Look at you, Shane. You'll be doing addition next thing we know.
Huh?
Nothing.
1 + 1 = 4. 4 + 1 = 7.
Shane, do you have brain damage?
Yeah. Anyways, alrighty. Let's move on to tech news. So a major announcement for people who live in the U.S. regarding cell phones. All five major carriers, this includes AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, and U.S. Cellular, will agree to make unlocking phones guaranteed and more transparent. So this means that you get a phone, you'll be able to unlock it. You'll be able to go to whichever carrier you want. You'll be able to take it to foreign countries and basically enjoy the freedoms that the rest of us enjoy in this world. And I say that, the rest of us, because I just learned this past last month that Apple was not selling unlocked iPhones in the U.S. this time.
Oh,
which is really quite shocking, seeing as pretty much everywhere else does that.
But Shane.
Yes.
You never leave your own city.
I know, but still, it's always good to have a have an option if you want to change carriers or something temporarily, right?
Usually you lose your plan that you had got for so long. Okay, it's good there for people. You can start jumping around a little bit more and not worry so much. But quite honestly, the average person isn't going to know how to unlock a phone, so you still want me more of the techie people.
Well, you'll have to go to the carrier to get it done. And the thing is, with this, what happens is you're actually able to unlock your phone, and then with this, you could potentially sell the phone, and, I mean, an unlocked phone works worldwide compared to your phone that is stuck on T-Mobile or Verizon. So this is a good thing. And considering that, according to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, it is illegal to unlock a cell phone in the U.S.
Wait, what? It's illegal?
Yep, according to
the DMCA. Yeah, they passed a law a couple years ago.
To unlock a phone.
Yeah, which, of course, nobody really listens to, because anyone who's a nerd would just hack it and root it and all that good stuff, but okay.
So this is definitely a step in the right direction.
So cool.
Alrighty, what's next?
Okay. okay. Well, basically, a new heart pacemaker is coming to the market soon. Yeah. So basically, a new invention was made is that that a pacemaker can be placed into your heart by actually going through your thigh. The idea behind this is that instead of opening up your chest and doing a very invasive procedure, I can literally cut your leg, make a small incision in your leg, go up your femoral artery, which is the main artery that goes through your thigh, and just follow push all the way up to your heart to whatever it needs to be. Usually it'll be the SA node.
In English?
I push that thing to your heart where your natural pacemaker is.
Okay.
It's considered the sinus arterial node, which is basically your natural pacemaker. That little part of your heart is where it sends electrical impulse to the rest of your heart muscles to contract and relax in order to pump blood through your body. When that thing goes nuts, that is when usually you need to have a pacemaker in order to help regulate it. It's supposed to help send electrical signal to your heart in order to start have you contract and all the other good stuff more regularly. What's good about this is that this procedure is supposed to be less invasive, so I don't have to cut through your body, go right between your ribs and cut through a bunch of, be careful not to go through a bunch of other blood vessels I'm getting to your heart, and do a very invasive procedure to put wires through your skin and everything else. For this, I can just make a small incision in your leg, push it up by, you know, kind of allowing your blood flow to start pushing up to the right spot. And from there, just letting it, putting in a position, just let it do its thing. So in theory, you would reduce cost because they don't have to stay in the hospital so long to try and recover, but also you're not making a relatively big cut through your chest, having to go through so many body parts in order to get to it.
Okay.
So it's good.
That's good. Yay. Alrighty. Well, moving on to the last piece of tech news now. YouTube Rewind. So every year YouTube pops up this page and list of top videos of the year. And this year's, unsurprisingly, has the video The Fox. So you watch The Fox more than 275 million times. That's the top trending video in 2013.
I did?
Well, everyone did as a group. So, you know, as a result of this,
I didn't think it was that many times.
Why? How many times did you watch it? I just watched it the once you sent me.
I never watched it. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, here you go.
5%.
No.
I'm top 10%. I'm
clicking on it.
Get on my level, bitch.
Oops.
I just create so much editing stuff for you, don't I, Shane?
Yeah, it does. Anyways.
Do you actually can edit that out?
Yes! Alright, other videos in the top 10 trending this year were the Harlem Shake, how animals eat their
God,
food.
Oh, God, that was this year?
Yep. Miley Cyrus, Wrecking Ball, Baby and Me, YOLO, Telekinetic Coffee Shop.
Never say YOLO.
Why not?
That is not allowed.
YOLO swag.
Oh my God! I'm gonna
60
hurt
no
you.
Scope MLG 420 Pro, spelled with a zero.
Yeah, anyways,
does that make you feel?
Speaking real words.
What?
Are you speaking real words?
YOLO swag, man.
I'm gonna hurt you.
Yes, please.
Other videos this year.
Not gonna hurt me now,
Mozart
are you?
Versus Skrillex. Historic rap battles of history.
Oh, that's
season
funny.
Two.
Those are funny.
Yeah. So that's that. Then there's also the music videos, which includes Miley Cyrus, Katy Perry, Pink, Selena Gomez, that sort of thing. So, whole selection of videos here. And as usual, YouTube has also put together a mashup of 2013 videos. And of course, the title is YouTube Rewind. What does 2013 say? So you guys can watch that on your own time and see what happened on YouTube this year.
Sure, it can't say anything.
Alrighty, well, that's it for tech news, everyone. Thank you for enjoying that. On to the Skill of the Month update. And we've got,
I got it.
A
I
rather...
Got it. I totally got this.
We got a rather simple race so far, don't we? Yes.
So, guys, I think Tim has this one in the bag as well. Not really. Tim is actually has gained zero experience. Jarmandy 50. What? What was that?
It's okay. Continue.
Someone just strangled a small child.
That was a sneeze. Continue. I'll edit it out.
Okay.
All right. So
anyway,
Jarmandy
has 23 million experience gained, and this is Dungeoneering skill of the month. And
13 days in.
K Latin has 8 million experience gained. And then, Brian sucks. He only has 1.7 million experience gained. So, Brian's gonna lose. I can already tell you guys that, because he sucks. But Dungeoneering is interesting, though, isn't it? In terms of XP per day.
Yeah, it's rather disproportionate because
well, is
if
this
you go
still
level,
anyone
you get more XP.
Could K Latin still come back?
I think so.
Assuming
if
Andy doesn't do anything.
Yeah, if Andy doesn't continue on and he would stop, Claudin could definitely pull ahead.
Cool.
Someone's really milking the sinkhole.
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing if I was in the skill of the month.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. And just the usual reminder that since we are officially in December now for about 2 weeks, we are looking for clips for the yearly clip show. So if you have something that happened on the show that you want to hear about or hear again, just go to update.rsbnb.com/clips, and you can send in a clip for the episode number and the time and tell us what it was. And we really do like hearing these because it's my favorite show of the year. I get to go put things together. And I've actually got a couple of clips from this episode. So, should be interesting.
Yeah, Shane died at the beginning of the show. So.
And there was one when you were on the phone as well.
Wait, oh, what happened to us on the phone?
You'll have to listen to the clip.
That's C14 classified.
Shane, what happened to us on the phone?
Nope.
Nothing happened.
We're moving on to achievements of the week now.
Well, that sounds lame.
Achievements of the week.
Patrol.
All right, we have two achievements this week. Reed, go for the first one.
Where's the tab?
Next AC got 99 magic on December 11th, 2013. And quick, Shane, get the next one.
A div with 99 divination on December 8th. Congratulations to you both.
Woo! Sports ball.
Earth, I believe you have a pick for us this week.
Yes, I do. StarCraft 2 is on sale right now for half off, and you guys should go buy it. Trekkie, you're the Asian. Explain what StarCraft is. Hi. I'm giving you respect, brother.
I'm not Korean.
So you still squint.
Hey, don't you, you little brick.
I'm not actually racist. I just love messing with dear Trekkie here.
Xbox explode.
Hey, nothing happened. How shocking.
Okay, so StarCraft 2 is a real-time strategy game. And then fight other people. There's also an arcade version where people
Wizard's
make
chess.
What?
Sure, let's go.
No, it's not. Did you watch that movie? Did you read the book?
I watched the movie.
Shane, that leaves so much out. You just. Don't listen to what Shane said, everyone. Just ignore him. He doesn't know what he's saying.
All right, so continue on the explanation of what it is.
Oh, well, that's basically a real-time strategy game that you can fight other people. It's all about positioning, getting your right troops the right time, attacking the right places, defending the right time, and yeah, it's a fun game, but a very aggressive game too. It can be very aggravating.
I love that part.
Especially when I play with Shane. Shane gets very aggravated sometimes.
So do I, more often than I should.
Yeah. But I might do it on purpose.
All right.
Frustrating shit.
So that's the pick. Always StarCraft 2, half off. So grab it while you can. And do they need to purchase Wings of Liberty, or can they just purchase Heart of the Swarm?
You have to purchase both Wings of Liberty and Heart of the Swarm if you want good things.
Yeah.
All right, that's an important distinction to make. Should I change my StarCraft name?
To what?
Why?
I don't know.
XX Shane 420 YOLO swag XX.
I hate
That's my vote, Shane.
Anyways, no, I won't do that. But, alright, thanks for the pick. So let's just start with Earth here. What have you been doing this week?
Final exams. I literally got done right before doing this. So.
Woot.
Woo.
All right, what
chemistry
about RS-wise?
Just the world event, mostly. Not much else. Haven't had time for much else, you know. Exams.
Alrighty.
But yeah, right. fun stuff. Cool.
Alright, Shane, why don't you go next?
No, you go next.
No. Okay. did the world event a little bit. Did some little bit of those building those little things because that was the only thing I could really do. Did ports, did a little bit of Citadel, finishing, topping my Citadel stuff off. So good experience in a way. But I spent most of the week actually on, besides finishing up the last minute papers here and there, ready. I've been also been doing a lot of Guild Wars 2 again, which is really nice when I can actually stay connected. And so, it's, you know, if you ever go into that and the fight in PvP and everything else, you would see kind of how if RS was able to make things more group related, group helping related, this game could go, Evolution Comic could go to a whole other universe. Not world, whole other universe.
Yeah, to the, what'd you say, Guild Wars 2? To that universe, guys. That one specifically.
Sure, if you want. I'm down. This means more news for me to kill.
All right, thanks. As for me this week, I have been just doing some Slayer on RS. I got 90 Divination last weekend, so that was good. Yeah, I don't know why I said it that way, but...
Love getting 90 Division.
Yeah. But aside from that... not really much. Our fleet on Star Trek Online is running a tournament tomorrow, a PvP tournament. So I've been kind of prepping
join,
for that.
You need to hurry up and join, because it'll already be done by the time you're listening. Right, Jim?
Yeah, that's right. So I don't even know why I mentioned that.
So you better
that.
Be really quick.
Yep. So quick that you can look into the past. But that's it. Aside from that, I'll just remind everybody to send clips in. And if you want to take it a step further, you can tell us what your favorite RSBNB update moment of the year, or since you had been listening, or whenever. Just PM one of us on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums, and we'll take all PMs and enter them into a draw for a random giveaway of one bond.
You can give them to me, too. I don't mind.
Yep.
I like hearing.
So either three
people.
Of us, and that'll be good.
Woo!
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, we will see you guys all next week. And once again, thanks for listening to us.
Goodbye, everyone. I will talk to you when the next quest comes out, I am certain. Goodbye.